Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we think about our lives and listen to the world. And this is February 13th, 2024, and it's Fat Tuesday. You know, it's Mardi Gras, so please feel free to indulge today or to just think about something in your life you want to celebrate, you know, because, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, obviously, I don't know if I'd say it mysticism, but certainly a lot of tradition that goes along with this. But, you know, we're always free to kind of reinterpret however we want, right? I mean, who can say what's right and wrong? So do what you want today and find at least one reason to celebrate yourself and your life. And I'm celebrating because my guest today is the amazing Mo Abdelbaki. He is a Vedic astrologer, a tarot master, and a true Renaissance man. So I love having him on the show because I never really know exactly where we're going to go because we're just going to go with where the flow takes us. And I know that it will always be a conversation in which I learn something. And, you know, that's a pretty exciting thing. You know, I mean, do you kind of look forward to conversations with people and every single time say, hey, what am I going to learn today? What's going to come out of this? I mean, that's a really wonderful gift that Mo gives me. Whether he intends to give that to me or not, I'm not sure, but that's what I get out of it. So I am very thankful that Mo is with me today and that we're going to have some kind of a provocative conversation. And you can join us not only by listening, but you can also go over to Facebook and go into our private 1-2 radio group. And I say private because you do come in and it doesn't go out to the whole world of Facebook, just to whoever's in the room that day and the people that belong to that group. So if you want to go in there and make comments or just say, you know, hey or hi or whatever, please come and join us. And hey, Renee and James, thanks for being the early birds and being in there today. I appreciate that. It's always good to see you. And it's just wonderful to, you know, to just feel that kind of, you know, community. Community of love, community of support, just whatever it is, it's wonderful to feel community. And I think especially doing radio, because you can certainly get the feeling sometimes you're just sitting here in front of a microphone and you have no idea who you're talking to. But it always does feel like a community to me. I always feel the energetics of it. I mean, I can feel the people out there listening. So thank you so much for being here, everybody that's listening. And if you want to go over to Facebook, that's good too. So before Mo comes on the air, I'm not going to talk a lot, but I do want to remind you, you know, this is, well, I always say it's a big week. Well, not always, but what happens this week is we have some definite change in the energy, astrologically speaking. And of course, I'm a Western astrologer, but Mars entered Aquarius last night. That was Monday, February 12th. Venus is also going to go into Aquarius this coming Friday on the 16th. So that puts a lot of planets, you know, Mercury and the Sun and Pluto are already in Aquarius. So, you know, we're definitely going into the season. We've been in the season, but, we've got a lot of Aquarian energy out there. Now, that being said, though, the Sun only stays in Aquarius for 30 days. So it is going to go into Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac, on February 18th, which is this coming Sunday. So yes, that's going to switch up a little bit, but there's no doubt, you know, I always see it when there's a lot of planets in a sign, then it's a good opportunity to really get into that energy. And maybe we don't need to decide, oh, is that Mercury in Aquarius? Is that Mars in Aquarius that's making me feel that way? Is that Pluto in Aquarius? In some ways, I'd say, I don't think it matters. Just feel what the energy is. And you don't have to necessarily decipher it, you know, or pick it apart. But just what are the things that you have noticed? You know, what's coming up for you? I really do believe one of the most important things we can do is be observers in our lives. Just observe. What am I feeling? And, you know, if you're that person that you want to pick it apart, that's okay too. But just observe what you're feeling, what you're thinking. And as much as possible, try to do it without a judgment. You know, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. You know, train yourself to be an observer of your life. So there again, just, you know, it's kind of funny. I was telling Jay and Mo before we got on the air, and I think this is very Aquarian, having to do with electricity, etc. Several things are going on for me this morning. I had been having a few computer problems. The computer just seems to be having a mind of its own, and I'm finally recognizing I really need to get a new one because this one has been a workhorse, but I've had it a long time. And in all fairness, it probably is having a difficult time keeping up with all those updates that keep coming, you know? And that's, I think computers, even though they're a Virgo kind of energy, they're also very Aquarian, you know, and all that information technology. But then, on top of that, my electricity went out this morning. Apparently, there was a car crash, and it took out a transformer or, you know, something important, and so there was no electricity. So I'm like, okay, Aquarius, where's the message here? But, you know, we just go with the flow, and but there again, I could observe it. My electricity's back on. It wasn't off for very long, just an hour, and my computer for right now seems to be operating like it's supposed to, so it's just being an observer of the process. And, you know, accepting. Sometimes we're going to really like what's going on, and sometimes we're not going to like what's going on. And can we just still be the neutral observer? So I'm not going to talk about Aquarius too much more. I have been talking about it in the last few weeks. And I'm going to continue because we have such a preponderance of planets in that sign, especially Pluto. I mean, that's a big one to have Pluto having moved into Aquarius. So we'll keep talking about it. But for your own inner mindset, just, you know, just notice what's going on for you. So with that, I'm going to turn it over and say, hey, Mo, thank you so much for coming on to the
Mardi
show today.
Gras.
Yeah, Mardi Gras. Yes, that's almost always a perfect one for you since you spent some time down
I
in
did. I went
New
to
Orleans, right?
Three, I think. Three
you
Mardi
went to
Gras.
School.
And by Mardi Gras Tuesday, which is what we used to call it, we were absolutely burned out and ready to go home. Tuesday was, you know, Tuesday morning, and usually you saw the dawn, you know. It was just like, oh, God, I am so ready. Oh, hello. Hi. How is everybody?
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Yeah, by Tuesday morning, because we would go Thursday, I think it was. We'd go Thursday, usually arriving in New Orleans from Baton Rouge, because I went to school at LSU in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we'd get in a car and drive down to New Orleans and park and then take the streetcar. And we always looked for the streetcar named Desire, but I never did find it. But I'm sure it was one of them. And go down to, you know, Canal Street and go through Lee Circle, that gigantic statue of Robert E. Lee, which is no longer there. And you would go, there was this great overpass, and you would go under the overpass, and there would be these, once there were these two guys with those, you know, vuvuzelas, you know, those stadium horns, they were blowing these horns, and it was like walking into the gates of hell, you know, because they would be blowing these horns, and they would just stand on either side of these things and just blow these horns, and it was really just packed with people who were all drunk, you know, and it's like, welcome, and, you know, don't abandon hope, but, you know, lose a little bit of it. It was just days of insanity, but what a time. Oh, my God, what a party. Of course, it's not like that anymore. It might be like that, but it's this was back in the 70s, and so, yeah, so happy Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, crazy time. Well, and some of the things I did want to talk about, obviously, this is the first show you've been on in 2024. And I, you know, was going back to my notes of what you did on the prediction show for 1-2 Radio. And everybody, I'll go back to that again. If you did not hear the prediction show, which was 4 hours long, you can still find it in the archives of 1-2Radio.com by going to the on-demand section. and going to Jay Varvel. And if you look for January 15th, you'll see that recording there. And by the way, if you don't want to listen to the whole 4 hours, you can kind of skip through and find somebody in particular you want to listen to. Or you know, you can listen to part of it and then come back and listen to more of it. So it's still there. But anyway, I was going back to my notes of what Mo had said. And this is not a prediction for 2024, but he said it, so I thought, I just got to say something about this. He started out by saying, well, you know, things change so much. And, you know, he said, I was thinking about the past and how people just didn't have a lot of stuff. And he said, like, they had to crank their own ice cream. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because my dad, both my mom and dad, actually, but my dad loves ice cream. And I, you know, for a long time, you know, I kind of fooled with different kind of ice cream makers and that kind of stuff. And, you know, none of it was really easy. And then I came upon, for those of you who have a KitchenAid mixer, you know, those stand mixers, you know, that have been around for more than 100 years. But the KitchenAid one in particular, that brand, has a bowl that you can buy, a special paddle in a bowl. You keep the bowl in the freezer. And wow, you can make ice cream in it. And literally, I can, I mean, Mo, it's the most amazing thing, I mean, to me, because I always saw ice cream making is very difficult. Well, I have a Ben and Jerry's recipe that I got because years ago I bought a cookbook that was just Ben and Jerry's ice cream. So I have this recipe that only has 5 ingredients in it, and I can literally whisk the ingredients together in about 3 minutes. Literally 3 minutes. Then I just simply put it on the KitchenAid in that bowl, and in 15 minutes
that's
I have
pretty
ice cream.
Cool. Yeah,
15 minutes.
Yeah, we've got this fancy
I know,
gadget
it,
that
it's
you
like
put the thing in the freezer, and then you pull it out, and you same sort of thing, and you make ice cream. We bought it just about the time that I found out that I was lactose intolerant. You know, so yeah, it's just tons of fun.
Well, I should look in my Ben and Jerry's and see what kind of alternative ice cream recipes. Oh, my gosh, because I'll tell you, I've tried many, but Ben and Jerry's, it's like simple. It's like unbelievably good. But it's just funny. So any of you, if you really like ice cream and you do have a KitchenAid mixer, which I think, truthfully, I'm not going to say every kitchen needs one, but they are so helpful for certain tasks that you just can't do by hand, or a hand mixer just won't work. So if you like to cook, but if you have the KitchenAid mixer, get that ice cream attachment because, oh, my gosh, I cannot even tell you how many bowls of ice cream I've made. And then I just pack them up in little containers, and most of them go off to Dad's house because
wow,
he loves
that's
it.
That's so cool.
So,
we do have
anyway,
too much
I thought,
stuff, though.
You're right.
I have stuff. I mean, I have stuff you wouldn't believe. I'm sitting here in the Batcave, as I call it. And the stuff I have is quite mind-numbing as I look around on shelves and tables and desk. And it's unbelievable, CA, how much – but I mm-hmm. like stuff, you see. That's the problem. I'm a sentimentalist, mm-hmm. and I have – I mean, just – I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 watches next to me. I don't need
yes.
6 watches next to me, but I like having 6 watches next to me, you see. My wife calls me a hoarder, and and she can throw stuff away, and I always wonder, how can you just throw that away? That means something, but it doesn't mean anything to her, you know. So, but I remember things
right.
like stuff. So, but we do have too much stuff. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're in Taurus. Yes, you're a Taurus.
Yeah.
What is her sun
My
sign?
Her sun sign? She's an Aries.
What is her
Burn
sun sign?
Burn it up. Get rid of it.
Aries. Okay. Well, see, that makes so much more sense. I mean, Taurus, like you said, it has meaning. I mean, that's Venus ruled. And it's like, I love my stuff. I need the comfort of it, the security of it. Yeah, Taurus has a much harder time letting go of stuff. Although, you know, my dad is a Taurus, and he doesn't collect stuff at all.
You know, I mean, I have 2 bagpipe chanters in this room. You know, I can see them both. I have an umbrella stand filled with flutes. None of them conventional. All of them difficult to play. I have my lightsaber. You know, I have an entire basket filled with walking sticks. Some of them I'm still carving. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just ridiculous, but I love it. And this is what, you know.
But that's your yeah, office. That's your space.
It's the only room I'm allowed to keep stuff in my house. I have 3, 4, 5 didgeridoos. Except for one, all I've made myself. I mean, and I'm looking at them, and it gives me pleasure to look at them. You know, calligraphy supplies, and it's all right within arm's reach. I've got a gong, another gong. There's another gong. I've got an hourglass. I'm just looking at them. Harmonica. You have to have a harmonica. 2 more flutes on my desk. You know, isn't this what people should do?
Yes. Well, and it brings to mind in the Western system, Jupiter, the planet of expansion, benefit, and luck, is in Taurus right now.
Yeah.
So it's my stuff. You know, I want to surround. So who knows what happens when it moves into Gemini? Maybe our tastes change. But here again, you know, I'm thinking about what you're saying. My office certainly has more stuff or more little memorabilia than any
books,
other room in the house.
Lots of books.
I mean, it's where you're going to see my personality. If you walk into the rest of the house, not so much. But you walk into my office, and it's like, what's this about? You
know? And there's a mini version of it. Yeah, let's get back to what you would like to talk about. Yeah.
No. What were you going to say?
Mini version
of
my office next to my chair, and it just drives my wife nuts.
Oh, yes.
Just nuts, you know. And I use fountain pens, you know, so.
But... Mm-hmm. But you know the other thing, and you have a dog too. My little Tucker is great. I mean, really, I feel so incredibly blessed because he's not a chewer. He doesn't grab stuff and chew it up. However, every once in a while, you know, like the other day, he was walking around and I could hear he kept dropping something out of his mouth, and the floors are ceramic, so I could really hear it. Something was clattering. And I go, okay, that's not one of his toys. You know, because most of them are soft. So I go over there, and he's got the remote control for the TV in his mouth. And so I know, and I'm like, no, I don't know why you decided to pick this up. I mean, undoubtedly, I had just set it within his reach. But, you know, that's one reason I try to keep things relatively minimalist so that he's, you know, he knows where his basket of toys is, and he's not grabbing that kind of stuff. But, you know, every once in a while, he will. So... You know, for the most part, like I said, it's my office that has all my stuff. You know, my crystals and my cards and my essential oils and all my little doodads. You know, all my, like I said, little, you know, just the things that remind me of what I think is important. But I wanted to go back to 2024 and just if you had anything that you wanted to particularly note about how you see 2024, I thought people might be interested in that. One thing you said, and I thought, what great advice. You said, get very, very familiar with the mute button on your remote control. You know what? I think that actually has a lot of wisdom that goes in our whole life. And that is that we have a choice what we're listening to or the environments that we put ourselves in. And we don't have to listen to all of it. We can mute it. We can change the channel. We can change what we're looking at or what we're surrounded by. And I know for me, there's a little bit of guilt because I have just, you know, pretty much really limited my exposure to what people call news. I don't think it's news. There's nothing new about it. But anyway... I used to be pretty much a junkie. I could tell you pretty much everything going on. And now it's a small trickle because I found it was really interfering with my just feeling okay and feeling peaceful and feeling hopeful. And yeah, maybe that's a sort of denial, but if something big is going to happen, somebody's going to tell me.
Right.
Right? And so do I need to hear, like you were talking about, you know, the pundits. So do we need to hear 24/7 of somebody telling us their opinion about it? And so just that, you know, that was one of Mo's pieces of advice. Get very, very familiar with, you know, the mute button. But also, like I said, I think that carries over into lots of areas of our life, not just television. I mean, that's a good concept or something to live by. Take control of what you're listening to.
Well, I think that's good advice in general. I mean, I had a friend who used to say that opinions are like, Kennedy used to put it. Opinions are like, he used another word, but opinions are like rectums. Everybody's got one, you know? And he used another word. And he said, you know, and they all have odors. And I always remembered that. And, you know, the point is that, and this was when I was a much younger man, and the whole point of that is to say that you just never really know who's right and who's wrong. And when I watch, and I watch a lot of those news, well, just basically one or two, and they take up a lot of your time. You know, you eat dinner and you flip on one of those news shows where they dissect the news, you know, what they think is important for the day. And it's an hour long, and you watch this hour long show, and they criticize this or they dissect that, and it's their opinion. And they bring on people who echo their opinion and bolster their opinion, and you're just getting one very specific slant. But generally you're watching it because you like that opinion and you like that way of looking at things. So the whole point is to say that what you're doing is you're kind of shoring up your own point of view. And we all do that to some extent. Or we don't, you know, you don't watch something that inflames you necessarily in a negative way. So if you want to do that, go ahead and do it.
Right.
That's fine. But know what you're doing. Otherwise, just stay away from it.
Yes.
It doesn't do us all, and it doesn't get me riled up, and I don't sit there and foam at the mouth, and a lot of people do, and those are people who end up going to jail sometimes, or prison, or even worse. Yeah.
Or crazy.
And they do things that, you know, and it's not worth getting. Now, there are things worth worrying about. There are things being concerned about. And we definitely have a problem right now when it comes to the security of our nation. But there are other problems as well. And the key is that there's very little that you and I can do except to voice our opinion and to act. And by acting, I mean we can vote. I think it's useless to go out and try and be, you know. I mean, I was an activist when I was young. I mean, I, you know, marched and raised my fist in the air and, you know, did all that sort of thing. When I was a young man, we had a lot of hope and a lot of yelling and that sort of thing. And it didn't do a whole lot, to be quite honest, but it felt good. And I'm certainly glad I did it. But the other side of that is that it was, I was young and I had the energy and ta-da. But this is a time for us to act in more rational ways and to be more active in what we do and to make our opinions count. And if you're going to watch something, don't let it bother you. That doesn't help anything. So if you get bothered, turn off the sound or change the channel and watch a movie on TV, you know. I was getting ready to, you know, have a nice relaxed day and watch The Prisoner of Zenda, a movie I've never seen. It was one of my dad's favorite movies, and, you know, life stepped in, and, you know, in the Vedic system, the moon was in, well, it was probably in the Western as well. The moon was in Pisces, right near the, getting close to the North Node, and we had a plumbing problem. So I took care of what The Prisoner of Zenda, you know, couldn't watch that. And so I thought, okay, I'll catch it the next time it's on, you know. But life, that's what life does. And that's what our lives are. Our lives on this level are not about worry. They shouldn't be about worry about the big things. We should worry about our lives and try and maintain as best we can. We can be concerned about things, but we have bigger things to worry about, I think, you know. Like you're worried about a computer. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of research to do, CA. A lot of research.
Yeah, and I'm trying not to worry about it, but you know what? It's a big part of my life. I feel kind of dead in the water without a computer, or one that I'm not sure if I can count on it.
Right, and it's a very important part for you. So you're going to study, and they're extremely expensive for a good one. And so you're going to make sure that you put your best financial ability where it can go to. And so that takes a lot of mind power. You don't need to be distracted by, you know, the bozos. And the story of Bozo is fascinating, by the way, but we won't get into that today. So, but it's an amazing thing how these people in the media, and I love the media, don't get me wrong. I mean, I was raised on television, you know, but they can really twist us and turn us around into these little tiny pretzels. And it's done specifically and to turn us into little, not robots, that's not the point, but it's to sell. They want us to buy the product. That's all it's about. It's about money.
Always. So, which kind of brings me in, and I know this is kind of an odd thing, but it brings me to the 2024, I mean, if you have anything in particular, like, for instance, you always, always encourage hope. And I love that. And I think that's a good word for 2024, especially with the Aquarian energy. But I'd also like your take on Aquarius in general as an energy. Because here again, I know there's such a difference between the Vedic and the Western system in terms of the planets that are in it. But in the Western system, we're like in Aquarius. Big time, and especially with Pluto. So, you know, what would you tell us about Aquarius, whether you want to talk about the mythology or what there is to learn about it?
The Aquarian age is coming. We're at the dawn of it. Pardon me. But, you know, that's going to be, hopefully, a wonderful time. We're at the dawning of it. It's going to be another while before we're there, due to the precession of the equinoxes, about 400 years by my reckoning. And theoretically, when we get there, there'll be no more, none of that. And I don't know. You remember when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, right? You know, and those of you who don't know what that is, that's from the rock opera Hair. And that's how the thing begins, you know, with this haunting gong. And then they start singing when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, which was just wonderful because it was like, wow, they're starting off with astrology, you know. It was so cool. And then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And that dawning is the key word there. We still got a ways to go there.
It's the key word there, right?
It's about the fact that at some time in the future that the vernal equinox will take place in Aquarius. Right now it takes place in Pisces at about 6 degrees or so. And the Aquarian age, yes, it's ruled by Saturn in the old system, but Saturn ruled the golden age of mankind in the old traditions. Saturn was the god of agriculture. Mm-hmm. You know, he was not just the bad guy of old mythology. When he stepped down as the ruler of the Titans, because, you know, Zeus fooled him, and because he was swallowing, he just represents time. But he was also, you know, that big scythe he has. Uh-huh. Scythe of time. Well, it's also an agricultural tool. He came down and in the Roman tradition, he came down and he taught everyone how to farm. And the Saturnalia, you've heard of the Saturnalia. Well, that was the time to plant and to reap and to sow and to reap in the harvest. And it's a marvelous time, supposedly. So Aquarius, the water bearer, brings things that are wonderful to us. It's about an open-minded time. As Capricorn can be so heavy and dynamic and ambitious, and Capricorn can have some greed to it, at least in my point of view. I think that Dickens, when he writes about Scrooge, he calls him Saturnine, you know? And I think that is the Capricorn image that I get. But at the end of it, he's Aquarian. He's generous, and he gives, and he becomes the best old friend that good old town ever knew, you know? And it's this wonderful right. energy of thinking of mankind and thinking of other people. And I think that, you know, right now in the Vedic system, Saturn and the Sun are both in Aquarius. And so Saturn's going to be in Aquarius for quite a while. So I think that's going to be a good thing. It's Saturn in its own sign saying, I'm home. I'm in this positive place. I feel good here. I get to be the good guy. I get to be Scrooge illuminated. I finally get to benefit mankind. I get to do this. I think things are going to be waking up, you know. It's a time. Aquarius is about, in my opinion, love. It's saying we can finally turn to each other and open up again. You remember, CA? I don't know if you were a hippie. I have to put myself in that. I was a freak. You know, hippies were basically just misfits, oddballs who didn't fit into the kind of the norm. I was never a norm sort of person. Mm-hmm. And the word we used a lot, which will be used a lot tomorrow in terror, is love. You know, love is all around us. And mm-hmm. we are afraid of the word love. And I think that the Aquarian ideal is one of love. And we say, well, Venus is about love, but Venus can be very much about lust, too. We know that.
Yeah, and personal, right. personal but love. Aquarian yeah.
energy, to me, is about, you know, agape. And Aleister Crowley wrote about agape in its original sense. Agape was the feeling that people had when they were at a party and they were all a little bit tipsy and they all liked each other, you know. That was its original usage, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of people are going to, you know, froth at the mouth about that. But that was kind of its first real use, was that feeling of, I like everybody. It's kind of like, and I felt that way. There were times back in the 70s, early 70s, when you would be around people and you would say, man, I just feel that. You'd be at a concert, or you'd be, you know, just hanging around, or you'd be just walking somewhere and you'd see a lot of people and there'd be peace signs flashed and you would feel this sense of companionship and come. That's the Aquarian ideal. It's this love of others.
Mm-hmm. That whole humanitarian thing to me is very Aquarian. You know, philanthropic, being altruistic, you know, recognizing the importance of every individual for whatever their contribution is. You know, no hierarchies,
really. Yeah, it's
really.
Just like we're all part of the same thing here.
Stuff.
Yeah. You know, Melanie Sofka died a few weeks ago, which just...
And who, I'm sorry,
she sang songs. Her name was... She was known just as Melanie. And she... You know Melanie.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
She sang, you know, Brand New Key, mm-hmm, which was her big hit, which I think kind of depressed her.
Right.
It was a kind of a novelty song she wrote in 5 minutes, and it became her huge hit. But she wrote a lot of songs about the era. She really was. Her career started in the early 60s, like 60, 61. She was only 76 when she died this year. And but boy, it crushed me because I had a crush on her when I was, you know, younger. But and not just because she was very pretty, in my opinion, but also because of her music, which reflected some of the pain and some of the joy, a lot of the joy and a lot of the pain of our generation, which was we didn't necessarily feel loved. I talked about this on my show. But one of the things it did reflect was our fervent hope for peace. And that is part of the Aquarian ideal as well, you know. Because that's a huge part of it, is this real desire. Because the water bearer brings the soothing waters for the parched thirst, you know, just... Can't we have some peace in the world? And we just seem so far away from it right now. Yeah. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
Even
go
on. Ahead. Yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know, it kind of comes to the image that I really drew from A Course in Miracles, but just, you know, laying down your personal defenses. They're so heavy. You know, it is as if we're just carrying these swords and carrying all these weapons all the time, or we're wearing all this armor. And sometimes you just go, I just want to sit down and relax. I don't want to have to carry this all the time. I don't want to have to be, you know, to have all these defenses.
Even to the point where it's
heaviness right on your shoulders, you know.
They have a lack of water, you know. I mean, in parts of the world, water is a... They're saying the next big wars will be because of water, a lack of water, you know. And so...
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible. And so for me, Aquarius is symbolic of the soothing waters that are brought, you know. I've always remembered the closing lines of Gunga Din by Rudyard Kipling, who is a water bearer, you know. And though I beat you and I flayed you, by the living God that made you, you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din. You know? I mean, it's just there's something about that. Mm-hmm. Something about this concept of the water bearer. Someone whose job is to provide water, which is a life-giving. I mean, we have to have water to live. It's so important. That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about the realization of how much we need each other. You know, my wife thinks there's something wrong with me because she says I live in the past. And I think, no, I don't live in the past. I remember the past. And I remember what it felt like to have those ideals. I remember what it felt like to have that burning hope and optimism within me every single day, in spite of the devastating losses, in spite of everything to the contrary popping up, and saying, but I know we can make it. I know it can happen. I know things. I've had crushing defeats of love where you think you're there. You think something has come around, and it doesn't. And you realize you've been betrayed, and you realize that the love that you thought was there wasn't there, that it hasn't turned out the way, that you were a fool. But I don't regret it. It's like, okay, it was worth it, you know? I wrote about that in my Power Peak, that, you know, there are times when you think that it's love, and it isn't. And you say, okay, I messed up, but boy, it was worth it at the time. Yeah, you can scream and yell and say I was an idiot, but man, at the time it was okay, you know. When you realize that the friends you thought you had weren't the friends you thought you had, you know. But or whatever, we've all had our hearts broken, but wasn't the love at the time wonderful, you know? But then it's Aquarius.
Yes.
It's that soothing water that comes along and helps us to heal again. That's what we need, because reality is that things don't always go our way. That's what this is to me.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is things often don't go our way. Maybe I'm being a pessimist, but, you know, it's sort of, you know, maybe it just makes me calmer to realize that in some ways I have high expectations that just, they'll get dashed. That's what it is. And so maybe just saying that, number one, maybe I don't know what the best thing is, and learning to deal with the disappointment maybe is a bigger thing for me in this lifetime than getting what I want, so to speak. Because getting what I want is more like you talked about, you know, peace of mind, feeling hopeful, feeling connected to other people, and just focusing on getting clearer about
that. I think that's very important. I think one of the problems I have with a lot of religion, is that it says, don't worry about this lifetime. You'll get it later. You know, life is pretty rough. But as long as you realize that it's coming later, you're going to do fine. And I always think to myself, wait a minute. Why can't we love life now? Why can't we be in the moment and accept the pain and understand that the pain is a big mm-hmm. part of today and just learn from it and be in the pain and not relish it, but understand that that's a part of the experience of life, you know? Maybe that's why I'm a deadhead.
Yes.
Because
well,
they
and
sing
also,
about that pain, you know? And they turn it into a song, and you just kind of sing along with it and laugh, you know?
Yeah. Well, and about so many things, you know, I read years ago, and now I never can come up with her name, but she's written a number of books. She is a woman with autism. And she talks about the difference between pain and suffering. And in my mind, I never saw those
Temple
as two different
Brandon?
Things. Oh, you know, that's the same thing. Yes, that's
Dr.
what it is.
Brandon.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yes. And in fact, I've heard her speak, and she talks about the difference between pain and suffering. And that kind of was like a light going on in my head, that pain is to suffer is a completely different kind of psychological process that has to do with your response to pain. You know, we're not going to deny necessarily, yeah, I cut my finger or I lost somebody important and say, oh, I'm not in pain. But to suffer is something else. And like I said, I draw upon that a lot because I just think I don't want to be this Pollyanna. Oh, you know, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Just keep moving on. And it, you know, no, you honor the pain, but you don't have to suffer.
Yeah. Well, in the story of Pollyanna, doesn't she become horribly bitter?
She certainly withdraws. Yeah. She definitely withdraws when it's as if everything that she has ever tried, you know, she has convinced, she thinks she's convinced very few people. But yeah, then she falls out of a tree and becomes paralyzed.
I remember seeing it. She becomes horribly bitter. And I always think,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well,
and no, you.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, and one of the important things is, like I said, here she's doing all this stuff, and by most people's estimation, she's weird. She's strange. What is she doing this for? She's a crazy little girl, right? But when she, at least, and I've never read the book, but in the Disney movie, the last scene is she is being carried out of the house because she's going to go to a specialty hospital where hopefully they can help her. But what happens is everybody in the town, or a number of people from the town, including the kind of bitter aunt that she's been living with, they're all there. They're all there, and they repeat back to her, in a sense, the gifts that she has given them, you know? And they are giving her hope, and they are surrounding her with love. And I think, so maybe what the wonderful thing is, there is that community of support, that community of love, and they're also saying, you touched our lives, and now we're touching you. We are all together in this. We heard what you said.
Love.
So it just reverberates back to her. And even, you know, when she could have believed that she was just this lonely little girl that wasn't having an influence on anybody. And that's it. She touched everybody's life
Contact. I believe that I always say that we can be a light and we have no idea how much influence we have upon others. By being that light. I really believe that.
Right.
That just a smile, just a pleasant word. We have no idea. We talk about influencers on the internet, and it just amazes me how you know, I had to look up the term thirst catcher the other day because there was something about Martha Stewart had done something about a thirst catcher. And I said, what is a thirst catcher?
What is a thirst catcher?
That people do to arouse others. No. She had supposedly just gotten up and said, I've just gotten up out of bed. And it was some big story in my news feed, which is also garbage. And it's just rubbish, you know. I do it, and of course, I don't pay for the news feed. It's an Apple news feed, and they want me to join, you know, and I don't. Yeah. So they keep an eye on what I actually like to read. So the next time I go in there, I can't read it unless it's unless I join their thing, and I refuse to do it. So I get less and less that I can read, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a game now because I'm enjoying. Yeah. You know, reading stuff that I don't want to read, and then it's being blocked out. But it's a sort of cat and mouse game, you know.
Yeah, but it's a game.
It was this picture of Martha Stewart, who is I think 83 years old now, and she's looking seductive or something, and they said it's a very successful thirst catcher, and I thought, so this is a game that people play where they try to arouse people, and I thought, what is this society of ours where, and God bless her for doing it. I mean, that's fine if that's what you want to be known for and that's what you want to do.
Well, but I am a little confused. Is that like just a different term for being an influencer?
It shows that she still has influence.
A thirst catcher?
You see. Yeah. That
okay.
She can still.
All right.
Appear sexy at the age of 83, you know. I'm because that's what she is. She is a marketer, pure and simple. That's all she's ever been, is a marketer.
Yeah.
You know, she has her brand, and for example, I bought a jar of Emerald Deli style smooth mustard. And I looked on the label, and it's a subsidiary of Martha Stewart Kitchens or something. You know, she's behind it. It's her brand, and he's a subset of her brand. And I thought, wow, she's huge, you know. And she's an ex-felon, you know. So, you know, or once a felon, always a felon, I guess. I have no idea how that works. I believe in people getting a second chance all the time. But the point is, that's not the point. The point is that she's still marketing herself, and she still has her, you know, little things that she does on TV. And, you know, she has this farm, and she has a Christmas tree farm, an apple farm, and she's still very present in the media. So by doing this, she says, I'm still viable. I'm still present. Don't forget me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I would rather at the grocery store be pleasant to someone and smile and pull them out of that robot-like funk that they're in. And there's been many times when someone has really turned from being numb to being very pleasant and upbeat, and I've seen them completely change, you know. That's who we are, in my opinion. We are that little Aquarian bit of light, you know? I don't want to.
Yes. Well, and I love...
I'm not here to arouse
people. Go ahead. You don't want to
what? Luckily, because that's not something I can do, you know?
We're not going to be the thirst catchers.
I don't catch any thirst, you know. I can cause a little revulsion, maybe, and
put
a bit of curiosity. But, you know, that's just not my place. I've never thought of myself in that way. But I know that being friendly and being open and being congenial, that's who we should be. We should carry that light within us, the way Pollyanna did, maybe, but without, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's something about it. Like I said, when I was a young man, I loved it. I loved the time. I loved walking down the street and seeing someone you didn't know. When I was a kid, I was a weird kid. I would smile at people. Yeah, I was a weird kid. When I was 7, 8 years old, I would smile at people on the street, and they would smile back. And I loved that. And my mother said, why do you do that? I said, I like that. And she would get a little irritated with me. I would hold the door open for people. Whenever we went anywhere, I would hold, and she'd say, come in. I'd say, no, I have to hold the door open for this person. And I did that, and I still do that. What's wrong with being like that? That's what this Aquarian stuff is to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that you brought up the image, you've said it multiple times, of Aquarius being the water bearer. Because that's the other thing. It's a bringer of light, but just that simple thing of pouring out the water, you know, just being kind. Or, you know, and I feel like I could even carry that as a symbol in my mind, that I may not know exactly what this person needs or wants or desires, but can I just picture myself being willing to channel whatever it is, you know, being the water bearer, and just almost seeing, pouring out the water for them and allowing them to channel that into whatever need they have. Because there again, sometimes I think we get all caught up in, you know, I don't know what this person needs or says, or, you know, and I find myself doing that a lot. I don't know how to help this person. And then I just dial it back and go, okay, you don't know, but you can just picture, just, you know, I'm here for you, or whatever the feeling is. And just try to channel that. So channeling that whole energy of the water bearer is a wonderful symbol, I think.
I've been doing readings for literally 50 years of my life, you know, a little bit more. And you just say, okay, I've been actually since I was a kid. But, you know, you do it this long, and all you do is you open up and say, how can I help you? And that's exactly how it starts. You say, how can I help you? And that begins the process. And immediately, whatever it is, kicks in. And it happens. You know? It happens.
Yeah. Well, and Mo, we literally just have a couple minutes to wrap up the show. But I do want to shout out to Lois in the chat room, because she says, loving the show. I graduated high school in 1970. And I am relating to every single word.
Thanks,
so thanks
Lois.
For bringing
Thank
the consciousness
you,
to light, CA and Mo. And the reason I want that shout out is because every once in a while, like, you know, even looking at the Chinese New Year, you know, if you go into the 60-year cycle, the last time we had this year was 1964. And which I love, because to me that equates Beatles, you know. But the point is, sometimes I think in my writings or now talking, it's like, do these people even relate to what I'm talking about? I'm getting so much older than them. And, you know, when I saw that from Lois, I thought, you know, the other thing is that thirst
trap,
you know,
thirst
what
trap.
Did you say? Catcher. That idea, you know, there's a reason that older people have wisdom. We've lived through a lot. And no matter if you are 10 or 20 or 80, you've got experience to be the water bearer. You've got something that you can pour out for other people no matter what the age. So I want to end the show on that note. Do you have any announcements or anything you'd like to say? And
well, I'll be on the air tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific with its Vaseline. It's Valentine's Day.
Okay, yeah, don't go down that road. Okay, go ahead.
No. But anyway, so it's Valentine's Day. And I think I'll probably end up talking about love. Anyone who listens to my show knows that I have no idea what I'm going to talk about before. So join me in the Paisley Penny Arcade.
Okay. Well, Mo, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Like I said, you've left me with this image of the water bear that certainly I knew about, but I need that image right now in my head. I truly do. So thank you so much. And thanks to all the listeners for being here today and for everybody who participated in the chat room. Really appreciate that. And also to our producer, Jay Varvel, who is just here unfailingly every Tuesday. So thank you, Jay, for being here. And I want to encourage everybody to stay tuned, because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. And we are in 2024 kind of continuing what we have done in the past, which is we get together usually on the second Tuesday of the month, and we call it the Meeting of the Minds. So I'm going to be back in just a few minutes with Kelly, and I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but just like with Mo, it's going to be a wonderful conversation, truly. There's always going to be something I get out of it, and so I know you're going to get something out of it too, something to put into that container of the water bearer. So please hang on, and we'll be right back. This is CA signing out. You've been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki. Find him on 1-2 Radio tomorrow for his show. And we are changing our lives and the way we listen to the world.